From a studio high above the clouds of the Okanagan Valley, this is the Cannabis Podcast. Exploring the world of Canadian cannabis culture, one toke at a time. Now, here's your host and bud tender, Gary Johnston.
And this would be my opportunity to welcome you back to the Cannabis Podcast. Thanks for coming back. Maybe this is your very first time. Well, if it is, an especially warm welcome for you. I hope you have some interest in cannabis, because that's what we're going to be covering for the next 30 or 40 minutes or so. Before we get too much further, let me remind you this program is intended only for those 19 or older in your jurisdiction and is intended purely for entertainment and perhaps educational purposes. You should always consume your cannabis responsibly. Well, in episode 154, I'm going to talk with Dwayne Stewart from Kinloch Wellness. They have just completed a new study that shows certain formulations for gummies delivered up to 500% more effective relaxation. That conversation is coming up. Cannabis could also be helpful in treating opioid addiction. The DEA in the state set to reclassify marijuana, and the demographics of cannabis consumers is changing. Plus, on Cultivar Corner, we got a real treat. From Smoker Farms, it's the Master Kush Ultra Honey Oil Cartridge. Get ready for a ride. All of that and more on episode 154 of the Cannabis Podcast. And of course, as always, I want to thank you for being a listener. I so appreciate the fact that you are here. I also want to thank all of my supporters. Thank you to Jordana, Keith, and Jordan at buymeacoffee.com/cannabispodcast, where if you feel so inclined and you like what you hear, you can go there too and buy me a doobie. At Patreon, I want to thank Tony, Roger, Rob, Gage, Lloyd, and Mitchell. I appreciate your support each and every time. Thank you so much. And let me remind you as well, in terms of the Buy Me a Coffee donations, 1% of what comes in through that channel goes to climate change research. And our next story is coming from 420intel.com. And while this is based on the United States, this is a decision that is going to have impacts around the world. The DEA is set to reclassify marijuana, recognizing medical uses and lower abuse potential. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will move to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug, the Associated Press reported on Tuesday early afternoon, calling it a historic shift to generations of American drug policy that could have wide ripple effects across the country. The DEA's proposal, which still must be reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget, says the outlet would recognize the medical use of cannabis and acknowledge it has less potential for abuse than some of the nation's most dangerous drugs. However, it would not legalize marijuana outright for recreational use. The agency's move, confirmed to the AP on Tuesday by five people familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the sensitive regulatory review, clears the last significant regulatory hurdle before the agency's biggest policy change in over 50 years can take effect. Once OMB signs off, the DEA is expected to take public comment on the plan to move marijuana from its current classification as a Schedule 1 drug, which it occupies along such dangerous drugs as heroin and LSD. Reclassification would move cannabis to Schedule 3, following a recommendation from the Department of Health and Human Services to do this very thing. After the public comment period, the agency would publish the final rule. And cannabis stocks are up sharply with the news. And that is some good news from the DEA down in the States, finally getting to reclassify marijuana as a Schedule 3 drug, and that's going to have repercussions across the world.
From the cannabis-infused studio in the clouds, this is the Cannabis Podcast.
Joining me on the podcast today is Dwayne Stewart. Dwayne is the CEO of Kinloch Wellness, and there is a new study out that is indicating that some CBD gummies with some additional terpenes and other organic compounds may in fact have a better impact on people. That's one of the things we're going to be discussing. Dwayne, welcome to the Cannabis Podcast.
Gary, thank you so much for having me today. Really, really excited to be here.
Yeah, and I'm excited to have you as well. So first of all, Dwayne, do you have a cannabis story? What brought you to this wonderful plant?
You know, the cannabis plant, I come through hops. I come through its cousin, the cannabinoid species, of course, include Humulus lupus, the hop plant. And so I came to it from that. We were growing hops in 2018, and we had the opportunity when Canada legalized to bring hemp into the mix. And it turns out the skills needed for growing a volatile organic compound outside, drying it and preserving it and handing it to extractors, aka brewers, is a very similar skill set to what you require to grow outdoor cannabis, harvest it, dry it, and hand it to extractors for CBD or the minor cannabinoids. And so we levered those skills in 2018 through about 2021 to do that. And then in 2020, we saw the writing on the wall with COVID and the change in demand profiles. And we really wanted to have an outlet that was our own. that we knew where the product was going to go. So we said, well, we're going to develop our own products and we're going to come into the market with our own CBD products. That led us down a journey of, well, you know, why would you take CBD? You know, under what circumstances does CBD make sense? So we knew we weren't going to have THC-based products. We knew we were going to have products that my mom would take. Because all this happened on the family farm, and I got to keep mom and dad on side. And they're not big plant people, you know, as in their world, and that's okay. But I wanted to have something that certainly they could use. And you know, in fact, my mom is using our Refresh capsules now, which is a CBT capsule. We developed a infographic that allowed us to ask the question: you know, under what circumstances would you use cannabis or CBD? CBG, CBN, and what's the use case for those? So we have on our website, you can find our wheel where we ask I questions. You know, I want to rest better. I want to have less. I want to deal with my stress after work. My muscles and my joints are uncomfortable. These are all words that are Health Canada approved. I've not used naughty words like sleep or anxiety or pain. Shh, don't say those words out loud.
Very, very cool. That's really interesting. There was something that I looked at on your news release that came out, and as you start your news release, you call yourselves a pioneer in non-psychoactive plant-based health and wellness products. You want to talk about that?
You know, the mood-altering state that you get from other minor cannabinoids doesn't have to be determined as psychoactive. You know, it doesn't impair judgment. You know, like when you get into judgment impairment, you get into I immediately go to kind of drive a car, you know. And when I take 20 or 30 milligrams of THC, I am not qualified to drive a car. You know, my own tolerance level, that's a number for me. When I'm done, I'm out for sure. You know, and if I have a bottle of wine, I am legally not qualified to drive a car, and that's appropriate, and I support that. With CBD, you can take 30 or 50 milligrams of CBD, and you're just going to chill. You know, you're going to have your body is going to have a reactive experience, but it's not going to be psychoactive in the sense that it's going to control your psychology. I'm not a doctor, okay? So let's not pretend you're going to get a medical thesis out of me. But you know, the impact of the minor cannabinoids is not the same as the impact of THC. Of course, the restrictive rules around THC limits, you know, also play a role. You know, the limits on THC, if they go up, I may be less concerned. But right now, I can't have more than 10 milligrams of THC in a package, let alone an individual consumable item. My CBN gummies are 10 milligrams per gummy. You know, and I have 30 of them in a pack, so I have 300 milligrams of CBN. Well, that's the kind of product that Health Canada is targeting. And it's incredibly efficient for our fans, the people that enjoy our products, because they are getting enough to do a job. They're getting enough CBN to have an effect. And when it comes to CBN and versus THC versus CBD, I really like the combination of CBD and CBN because I tend not to wake up with a hangover. I tend not to be fuzzy in the morning. If I take 10 and 10 of THC and CBN, I tend to wake up a little bit foggy till noon, whereas the CBD tends to clean it up. And as we know, CBD is almost an antidote to THC. You know, it's going to act on that CB1, CB2 receptor in a way that's going to help. A balanced THC product is often better for people that certainly have lower limits because you need that moderating effect of CBD, just like you find in the plant. The cannabis plant is going to have a balance of CBN and THC. Obviously, we've bred it out, so you have that giant difference. But having the ability to have a more balanced CBN product, for me, that's in our CBZ line. And by the way, we called it CBZ. It's not a new cannabinoid. It's a little trademark beside that. I wanted it to be CBZZZ. I wanted it to be CBZZZ. But Health Canada was like, no, that sounds too much like sleep. And I said, okay, well, how about CBZZ? And they said, no, nice try. So I said, how about CBZ? And they were like, nothing. So they've let me get away with just having one Z in it. And by the way, I flip between Z and Z all the time. I never know who wants to hear what. But I do get phone calls from saying, hey, is this a new cannabinoid? I'm like, no, it is not a new cannabinoid. It is 100% a trademark. We're trying to play on the sleep concept. There's a product that we compete with called Night Night. Great product. Very obviously, it's designed for sleep. I don't know why Health Canada doesn't complain about that one, but I'll let them have that.
That's a whole other debate as to how far you can go down one certain path as you have deftly done avoided the use of the word sleep in terms of your product. And I understand why you're doing that, but it's just one of the absurdities of our current industry. So give me a sense of who Kinlock is. Dwayne, what's
your name? We're a small company. Our sister company is Flow Scientific. We're one of the biggest terpene companies in Canada. You know, we provide terpenes to the cannabis space on a daily basis. And, Kinlock comes from the family farm. Kinlock is the name of the family farm. My granddad started in 1930, coming in from the Maritimes. His great-grandfather grew up in Kinlock County in Scotland, and that's where that name has kind of followed the family all through the generations. And so that's where it comes from. And, you know, the goal of our products is to provide a gateway to the plant, you know, by using non-psychoactive, non-THC or very low THC products. In a way that answers mood states for people around the clock. Whether it's first thing in the morning, for me, my favorite is a cup of coffee and either our Serene gummies or our tincture. Those two in combination, I'm calm but alert. So that's my favorite combination. Either we have our refresh gummies and capsules, which are more for rest, for recovery in that afternoon state. Elevate is our lower potency products, also more broad spectrum. That's where our CBC is going to show up at some point going forward here. But that's our lower potency CBD broad spectrum products. And then CBZ is our products that are focused on both CBN and CBD, as we talked about before. But the reason we did the study was because we kept hearing from patients and consumers that, hey, your gummies are the only ones that work for me. I'm like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, like, we have clean, good, we're Canadian products. So obviously, the potency we declare is what's in there, obviously. Maybe not so obviously in other markets. I've been in other markets around the world, and that obvious word does not apply. But in Canada, I believe that somebody says they have 20 milligrams in their gummy, they have 20 milligrams in their gummy. So I wanted to know, why is it that we're getting this comment? Is it the potency? Is it the terpenes? Is it, you know, what is going on where consumers keep saying, you're the only gummy that works for me? And I assumed it had mostly to do with potency. So I went to, I was approached by and worked with Roy, from Zentrilla, who does a very, very cool objective way of measuring the impact of cannabinoids on people by having them wear an EEG on their head and then having them consume the product in a very similar way through two different sessions. So they had people come in and take a very reputable, well-known, high-quality capsule of 50 milligrams of CBD. They then tested they got their baseline, then they tested their result. Over a 3-hour period. For the first 60 minutes, they are static. They sit still. And then they get up and move around. They can watch TV. They can do whatever they want to do, play on their phone. It's at the end of 3 hours. So it's two parts of the 3-hour session. They then come back the next week, same weeknight, same situation, same group of people, and they gave them our gummy. Again, 50 milligrams in the gummy, establish a baseline, and then see the results. And what we were really surprised at was that the impact of the gummy, the terpenes, and the other bioavailability components of that product all resulted in over a 300% impact of greater relaxation, measurable relaxation in the patients compared to the capsule. And in the female participants, we saw over 500% of efficacy, almost 5 times the impact on the female participants. And we don't know why that is. We don't know if it's BMI. We don't know if it's metabolism. We're not sure exactly why the big impact, but we had a big impact on both sets of genders, on an average more than 300% effective across the board. And so what that showed to us is that you can actually identify that, yes, the bioavailability in the gummy plus the terpenes had a significantly better impact than the capsule. The capsule actually only costs a little less than our gummies. Is less, but it's a little bit less. But the efficacy is significantly less. And so if you wanted to look at it on bang for buck, the gummies for sure come out as a higher quality option for consumers that are looking for something that's more effective. And I would suggest that any product that has a greater bioavailability, and especially if you're looking for a singular isolate or singular molecule, you're going to have a better impact with more bioavailability. And then what this brings up for me is, well, pharma is so focused on the molecule. But I'd make the argument that there's indications, I think we know this intuitively, that the broader the spectrum, the experience of the plant, the better the experience. Would you agree with that, Gary, in your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. That has been my experience as well. And not only that, in terms of the endocannabinoid system and the bioavailability, do you find, because I certainly do personally, edibles have a very little effect on me and even capsules in terms of my endocannabinoid system. Were there any people in the study that had those similar experiences?
We didn't find anyone that didn't have a relaxation effect. Everyone had an effect, positively with, across both the capsule and the gummy. The effect was more marked and more obvious and more measurable, with the gummy, to be sure. I think the challenge with many of the people that we've talked to, this is an anecdotal commentary, when they discuss the edibles that they're using, often the potency is so very low. One of the comments I get about CBN, in particular, is that, I had a CBN gummy. It didn't really do anything for me. Which gummy did you have? Well, I had one with THC. Okay, that's great. Well, that means there's 10 milligrams maximum THC in that package. How much CBN did you have? Well, it had five gummies. It was a 1-to-1 THC to CBN. So it's 2 milligrams of THC and 2 milligrams of CBN in that gummy. You pretty much have to eat the whole package to have an impact. And maybe that's the goal, and that's fine. But now you've just spent somewhere between $4 and $10, depending on the product, to have one night's sleep. I think $2 per sleep kind of makes more sense in my world. And that's how we structure our capsules and our gummies to be under $2 to get you that effect. And I think that the volume that you take, especially if you're not as experienced, if you don't have a high tolerance, I do believe you still need enough to have an impact. BMI comes into play. I'm a bigger guy, and so I definitely need a little bit more to have the same impact. I've shared a gummy with friends, and if our experience in cannabis is not the same or similar, they can have a significantly different reaction than me. And is it metabolism? Is it BMI? Is it just the bioavailability of the product? All those are factors that come into play. And I sort of get why pharma says, well, look, Duane, you just named five factors that are going to impact the efficacy of this medicine. We want to eliminate as many factors as possible. And so to do that, we're going to put in just that one molecule. And I understand that, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's helpful. It doesn't necessarily mean it's doing the right thing. It doesn't necessarily mean it's giving the effect that the patients want. So are we all necessarily meeting the needs of those patients by focusing on single cannabinoids? I don't think so. And I think this study, helped showcase that.
Well, the interesting thing I find about the current industry with the results of your current study, Duane, is that a bud tender really can't talk about that when somebody comes in and addressing your product because of their limitations in the whole sleep issue in terms of the retail world. How do you plan to deal with that?
Well, one of the things that the advantage of the study is that this is a Health Canada compliance study. So it meets the standards that Health Canada requires to do a study for us to publicize it, which is why you see a press release, which is why we're having this conversation. We can do that because we can talk about the effect of the study. What I can't do is extrapolate the effect of that study and say, and so therefore your cancer will be cured by this. Like, obviously not. That is not what anyone is saying. So the bud tenders do have the ability to reference data, and they can say, hey, there was a study that was put out that showed that these gummies were 300% more effective compared to a capsule with similar potency. That's just a fact now. And they're allowed to say that sort of thing. Now, will that be good for you, Mr. Patient? Will it be more 300% more effective for you? They can't give that advice. They can't say, therefore, you will have that impact. But you can extrapolate whether or not it might have that impact for you. And you also get to decide as a consumer, would I rather try the product that's been studied or something else? Then that's up to you. That's your decision. For the products where it's more recreational and it's more fun and it's just that $5 joint for your Friday night, maybe not a lot of study needs to go into that. We kind of know what's going to happen, and that's great. But for the big market that has not yet come to cannabis, they need confidence in what they're taking, and non-THC products are going to be a gateway. I'm not confident about this number, but I believe about 15% of Canadians are using cannabis on a regular basis. Our thesis when we started Kinlock was that the market for non-THC consumers is 3 to 4 times the size of the THC.
I would agree. But I think there's some also value to those who like me are more onto the THC side of the cannabis world. And to your point, your question earlier, yes, I think the entourage effect is the term that I would use to apply when we're adding the terpenes and the other compounds to that, not just the THC. And the entourage effect, whether it's with a THC or a CBD component, I think truly does produce a much better effect. It certainly does for me. I sleep wonderfully because I smoke cannabis and it has all of those wonderful effects. So I think that's another value to the study that you have just done. It kind of validates that whole entourage effect thing.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. That's a huge part of what we're searching for, what we're trying to do, which is, you know, back to my concern about pharma focusing on just one molecule, you know, is that the right way to go? But access to CBD is, you know, a real challenge, you know, in Canada. You're still having to access it through the THC marketplace. And so I described that, you know, I'm out there selling vitamin C at a rave. Like, it's really good for you. Your mom's going to love this. You know, and you're like, I'm having fun. Leave me alone. So it is challenging to access these consumers. So until we see a meaningful change in the way that the non-psychoactive cannabinoids can be accessed, you know, I think it's going to continue to be a market that's small. We are 3 to 5% of the market. Like, I am not fighting, you know, the market's 60% flower, it's 40% pre-rolls. Wait a second, there's no percents left. You know, it's almost like that. You know, flower and pre-rolls are the significant part of the THC market, and that's great. You know, edibles, you know, concentrates, et cetera, you know, the numbers, you know, roll down. And when you strip THC out of it, you just look at non-THC products, we are, you know, single-digit percentages. But ultimately, I think it's because we're selling into the wrong marketplace. We're not talking to the consumer that's looking for us. And that's going to take some time to change. Medical is a great platform for us. You know, the medical user definitely understands the value of the plant in different aspects of their day. The medical user, you just commented, well, I prefer to smoke, I'm assuming an indica, you know, at night, and that helps me sleep. Awesome. But when I get up in the morning, I need to get to work and I got to be clean. So I'm going to take some CBD to make sure I'm cleaned up in the morning. Oh, I hurt my shoulder, but I still have to do work. So I'm going to take some CBG, you know, to help me with my pain inflammation during the day. I'm going to have some THC at home at night for sure. But as for the first part of my day, I'm going to use something else is often how that medical patient will use the non-THC products in conjunction with their THC products because they get it. They're an experienced, they're a medical patient. They get it in many cases for years. You know, we're surprised at the number of veterans that use our products, you know, daily as part of their treatment program. It's not the only thing they take for sure, but it's an aspect of it. And I think there's a spot for non-THC products in a robust THC marketplace.
Are you a consumer as well, Dwayne?
Yeah, 100%. You know, my favorite THC product is a hash rosin gummy. Give me a hash gummy, and that's a nice Friday night for me. Thank you very much. My wife has been a user for quite some time. She's dealt with all sorts of medical issues, and you know, smoking THC products really helps her in a lot of circumstances. She does use our non-THC products. Can I do a shameless plug? We just come out with this product here called a Terp Booster. And what this is a little blue puck that goes into flower. And what it does is it'll add terpene profiles to flower. And so what she's been doing is taking her her 10 packs of flower and adding her favorite flavors to it. So she's recently fallen in love with orange creamsicle. So she's adding orange creamsicle to her 10 pack of pre-rolls and just loving it. So the thing I do like about the cannabis business is innovation. You know, so Terp Boosters, you know, from Flow Scientific is an innovation that you're going to start seeing, I think, in from LPs at the consumer level. It's incredibly effective. You put it into a pre-roll tube and you can modify your pre-roll as you like. It gives you the ability to take terpenes and just like a bartender is going to take bourbon and make you an old fashioned, you know, you can now take your favorite flower and add something to it to give you a different effect.
I'm so looking forward to when we get to that level where that's what we're doing when we go into a store. And we're going to get there eventually, I'm hoping.
Well, the innovation that you see is spectacular. I mean, the challenge with any business where you say, here are the rules, the business person is generally going to say, how do I get around them?
Yeah.
How do I serve my customer
it's
better?
True.
And kind of meet the rules, but find the gray edges. And you saw that with Jolts, you know, is a tremendous yes. example of, well, it's yeah. not an edible, it's a lozenge. And we're going to call that an edible concentrate. There's a few products that didn't get the blinding publicity that Jolt's got. And there's some other ones that are kind of still out there doing the same thing, but more quietly. Yes. But that's a good example of innovation to get the consumer what they want. You know, the 10 milligram THC limit is ridiculous.
Well, thanks for sharing your story, Dwayne. You guys are doing some good work out there. As I say, I'm really pleased to see this study. I hope there's going to be more, both from you and from other companies that are showing us some of the effectiveness that we all know about, but we have no factual data to back it up.
Yeah, 100%. Our next study is going to be with our rapid action CBZ product. So it's we call it the H2O nice. Rapid. You add it to your drink before bed, water or juice or tea or coffee, whatever you like.
Okay.
And it's highly bioavailable. It's based on technology coming from the University of Toronto. It's Canadian tech, which I like. It's a micellized cannabinoid, which is the same micellization is the same process that your body uses to absorb oil. So when you take olive oil in, your body's going to wrap it up in a micelle. It's going to help it absorb into your water-based body. And so what this product is doing for us is helping us deal with patients that have insomnia or waking issues. So if you have trouble going to bed, this will help you rest more deeply when you take it very quickly. And then if you wake in the middle of the night, I know I have this problem sometimes. I'll wake up at 2 a.m, I can't get back to sleep. This is the solution for that. It's going to be very rapid acting. We're looking forward to having that product. It's just now, it's literally being bottled today, and we'll be doing a study with that this summer.
Oh, we'll look forward to the results of that too. Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing, Dwayne, and enjoy the rest of your day.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
And for our next story from theounce.ca, this is special to the OZ from UBC Research. New findings from researchers at the University of British Columbia suggest that cannabis can ease cravings for drugs, playing a role in addressing the ongoing opioid overdose crisis. A new publication from Dr. Hudson Renton, alongside UBC Okanagan's Dr. Zach Walsh and UBC Vancouver's Dr. MJ Milloy, observed that using cannabis is associated with decreased use of crystal methamphetamine among people at highest risk of overdose in Vancouver's downtown east side. About 45% of the study's participants reported using cannabis to manage their cravings for stimulant drugs in the last 6 months, including powder cocaine, crack cocaine, and methamphetamines. A notable reduction in crystal meth use was observed among those who used cannabis for craving management. This association was not significant for crack cocaine users. Dr. Redden, the study's lead researcher, emphasized the potential of cannabis as a harm reduction strategy. Our findings are not conclusive, but do add to the growing scientific evidence that cannabis might be a beneficial tool for some people who want to better control their unregulated stimulant use, particularly for people who use crystal meth, says Dr. Redden. This suggests a new direction for harm reduction strategies among people who use drugs. Dr. Walsh, a clinical psychology professor at UBCO and a leading substance use researcher, highlighted the importance of further investigation. While these findings are promising, they underscore the need for more comprehensive studies to understand the full potential of cannabis in the context of the overdose crisis, Dr. Walsh says. The research, published in Addictive Behaviors, used data from a questionnaire administered to individuals concurrently using cannabis and unregulated drugs, including stimulants and opioids, in Vancouver. It is the latest in a series of studies investigating the potential of cannabis to address the overdose crisis, led by Drs. Milloy and Walsh and other colleagues at the British Columbia Centre on Substance Use. Dr. Milloy is a research scientist at the BC Centre on Substance Use, who holds the Canopy Growth Professorship in Cannabis Science. Their work is supported by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research and the United States National Institute on Drug Abuse. And isn't it great to see some great research coming out of UBC and UBC Okanagan? And thanks to theounce.ca for sharing that story.
THC, CBD, terpene profiles, what's in me? Oh, please explain to me. Cultivar Corner, Cultivar Corner, oh yeah. Cultivar Corner, please explain this stuff to me.
Well, I have to tell you, I have been excited about this one. I kind of teased on it, and of course, my friends Jeff and Sherry at Smoker Farms, who do their Master Kush Ultra, some incredible weed that Jeff keeps continuing to grow, some pretty fine weed. And as we have indicated in the last couple of months, they have branched out. They have now gone into the market at Mendo Medical Cannabis. And that's where I am going for my information, because unfortunately, is not available in a lot of other places right now. Keep your eye out. That's going to change soon, I'm pretty sure. They're going to figure all that out, and they're going to get this so that we can pick up our Master Kush Ultra vapes wherever we want. Now, the last time we were here in a cultivar corner talking about a vape, we had discovered that they now suddenly work for me. I had not tried them for years because they just weren't giving me the kick that, or even any kind of a feel, as I thought they should. Have discovered over the last couple of months that that has changed if I look for full spectrum or rosin or resin. Well, guess what? This is a full spectrum Master Kush honey oil vape cart. Oh, beautiful, beautiful amber color. And I've got my Yokan Koto Pro all ready to go. My hesitancy is that I'm going to get really blasted really fast. And if I don't talk about it beforehand, this cultivar corner could be about 30 seconds when I get blasted. Not true, I suppose. That is one of my difficulties. In obtaining information about the Master Kush Ultra Honey Oil Vape Cart, the only source that I could find was at Mendo Cannabis. So let me tell you about what they talk about here. Don't miss out on this old-school legendary strain of Master Kush Honey Oil. It'll take you back to an experience from the old school days. The visual appeal? The oil is amber in color. And I have to add to that a deep amber. That's just a beautiful amber color in this full 1 gram vape cart. Your flavor profile? Now here's where the fun starts. Especially in terms of the full spectrum aspect. Natural, full spectrum cannabis flavors. There's no botanical terpenes in this. There's no flavoring agents that have been added. This is just cannabis extract. This full-spectrum, full-flavor oil will make you feel like you're enjoying like classic Master Kush Ultra flower. The terpene profile of beta-caryophyllene, alpha-bisabolol, linalool will have you relaxing in no time. And then the effects. And this is the part that I'm a little worried at first thing in the morning. The fast-acting effect of this indica-dominant strain will have you relaxed and sedated in no time. Now let's give you some of the details. So 69.13% is the THC. My terpenes are sitting at 6.65 in their total terpenes. Smoker Farms, of course, the producers of Master Kush Ultra. And the terpenes that are inside of this, caryophyllene, humulene, limonene, and linalool. Well, we don't have an option of doing a dry herb vaporizer or a joint here. So I'm just going to get a preheat. Let's get this powered up. I've got a full 1 gram cart. I have been so eager to testing this. This was a retirement gift from Jeff to me. I really appreciate it. And it also gives me an opportunity to share my experience with you. So the Yokan Koto Pro is preheated. Let's do that first hit, and now I have also learned not to hold things deep in my lungs, which I think caused a lot of my coughing issues in the past. So here's the first hit of Smoker Farms Master Kush Ultra Honey Oil Vape Cart. Oh, that lovely taste. They say, what's the line that they said? It's going to take you back to an experience from the old school days. And boy, is that ever true. That was a lovely little first hit. Let me do a second. Oh, so clean. Such a lovely taste. No botanical terpenes making my throat burn, making me cough and all of that. Oh, and wow, here it comes. I've had two hits so far. And the happy eyes are there. Oh, I just love the way that flavor rolls around on the tongue. After you inhale it and kind of hold on to it for a little bit. Oh, and my rise. My rise is meteoric here. It's one thing that I unfortunately have had to learn since I have been able to now do the vape cartridges on occasion. You probably have heard me over the course of all the many cultivar corners that I've done over the last 6 years, where I think I use a line where, well, I'll smoke another one. A little bit more isn't going to hurt me. As I move to the vape cartridges, I have to change my behavior. I have had a couple of instances where I have Keskap going on it, and I just got so wasted, not in a pleasant way, but that's not the case today. Master Kush Ultra, sweet honey oil. Boy, it tastes good. Now, I am running this at 2.0 volts. I'm going to pump it up just a little bit just to see what happens if I put that to, say, 2.5. I definitely don't want to burn it at 3 or 4, but I want to get a little bit more of the flavor profile out of it. So here we go again. Oh, much more vapor. Much more flavor, but still not too harsh. I'm glad I turned that up a little bit. I think the 2 volts was a little too low for this particular full spectrum extract. 2.5 seems to be pretty perfect. And speaking of perfect, oh, my endocannabinoid system is just racing right now. Oh, I am just giddy. It's the quick rise. So the advantage of the vapes we've already talked about, of course, is the discrepancy. The discrepancy. I might be a little buzzed. It's the discretion, which you can utilize, and I'm hoping to try that discretion at the John Fogerty concert this summer. We'll see what that goes. So again, I do want to thank Jeff and Sherry for the retirement gift of this Master Kush cart, this Master Kush beautiful honey oil. There's a post on Instagram of Jeff handing this to me underneath our magnolia tree. I just, in fact, saw that before I started recording this today. So reminded me of the fact that I am so thankful for the friendship that I had developed with Jeff and Sherry. So thankful for the product that Jeff has been growing for many, many years, continues to get better at it. And now we've got it in a vape. And I'm just baked. Let's be honest. I'm just really high right now. And so what does he do? He loads up one more hit. Which he didn't really need. Yeah. This feels really, really good. Really fast. I think I've taken a total of about 6 or 7 hits. And my happy eyes are, wow, really strong. Lots of euphoria and lots of nice deep body relaxation that's going on too. This Master Kush Ultra is known as an indica for a reason, that I think there's a lot of body relaxation that goes on with this. Really a beautiful high. Just, I'm just enjoying myself. This is going to be a fine day, let me tell you. And it may involve popping this little cart out a couple more times and taking a few hits through the course of the day. But that's the beauty of the vaporizers. They're so quick, they're so convenient, they are so discreet. So you can sneak them in pretty well everywhere. There is a bit of an odor that comes out, but if you're smart about how you deal with that, you can deal with that too well. I am impressed. Thank you so much for the retirement gift. It is thoroughly being enjoyed, and it's going to continue to be enjoyed. Smoker Farms, Jeff and Sherry Aubin, they're doing some fine work over there. And now that they have their Master Kush Ultra available at Mendo Medical, soon to be available at other locations as well, once they figure out all those other details, it'll be available for you to grab and to stick on the end of your battery, and you too can get buzzed from Master Kush Ultra Honey Oil Vape. Oh, I am really enjoying this, and I think I'm going to really enjoy this day.
Sharing stories about good weed while trying good weed. This is the Cannabis Podcast.
And we're going back to the ounce.ca today for a story written by my friend David Wiley. Older Canadians are losing interest in cannabis while younger ones are gravitating toward it. New data from Stats Canada highlights the changing trend more than 5 years after legalization of recreational cannabis. Younger Canadians are twice as likely to use cannabis than older Canadians, says StatsCan in his 2023 National Cannabis Survey. The National Department of Bean Counters says in 2023, more than one-third of adults aged 18 to 44 used cannabis over the 12 months. That's in contrast to 1 in 7 adults who were 45 and older. McGill University's Mark Ware, Associate Professor, Department of Family Medicine, says it's an interesting snapshot. One major question arising is how patterns are changing over time, says Ware. whose research interests include evaluating the safety and efficacy of novel approaches to pain management, such as cannabis and music. But there's a problem with the data, he says. Previous government reports present age group data differently, so it's hard to compare trends, he adds. What we need is consistent measurement of each year following legalization. Deeper questions of why people are using cannabis. And what proportion of this cannabis use may be seen as problematic or not addressed with these data, says Ware. Well, it is encouraging to see that two-thirds of adults are purchasing from legal channels and that safety is a driver. It will be interesting to uncover what keeps the other one-third in the illicit market. Ware has advised the Canadian government on medical cannabis policy since 2001. And in 2016, he served as the vice chair of the Federal Task Force on the Legalization and Regulation of Cannabis in Canada. Across all age groups, the two most commonly used products were dried flower at 62% and edibles at slightly over 57%, says StatsCan. Several product types, vape pens and cartridges, cannabis extracts and concentrates, cannabis beverages, dried leaf or flower, and edible cannabis were more commonly used among younger cannabis consumers compared with older consumers. Older product types, cannabis topicals and oral cannabis oils, were more commonly used among older consumers than younger consumers. For cannabis consumers aged 25 years and older, dried leaf or flower products were used more commonly among men, 70%, than women at 48%. And edible cannabis products were more commonly used among women at 62% than men at 51%. These gender differences were not present for young adults aged 18 to 24 years. The majority of Canadian consumers, 7 out of 10, are buying exclusively from legal sources, citing product safety, convenience, and a desire to follow the law as the main reasons. More statistics around Canadian cannabis use and age. In 2023, more than one-third of adults aged 18 to 24 years, 38.4%, and 25 to 44 years at 34.5% reported having used cannabis in the previous 12 months, compared with 15.5% of adults aged 45 years and older. About 1 in 10 adults, aged 18 to 24 years, 8.7%, and 25 to 44 years, 10.3%, reported having used cannabis daily or almost daily in the previous 12 months, compared with 4.8% of adults aged 45 years and older. Among adults aged 45 years and older, men, 6%, were more likely to use cannabis daily than women at 3.6%, while no gender differences were found for adults younger than 45 years. So some interesting statistics on the use of cannabis among young and older consumers, and thanks for that to theouse.ca. And of course, we always want to leave you with some pleasant thoughts as we finish off an episode, so here's your jokes for today. Scientists have been studying the effect of cannabis on seabirds. They've left no turn unstoned. My friend bioengineered a cannabis plant that grows large, colorful flowers. I got to see it, and I must admit, it was pretty dope. Why does the little cannabis plant spend every other week at his father's house? Because his parents have joint custody. I invested all my money on cannabis-infused beef. The stakes are high. Did you hear about the nun who was caught with cannabis sewn into her robe? She had a drug habit. And on that note, we will call it a conclusion. That brings us to the end of episode 154 of the Cannabis Podcast.
From the Cannabis Infused Studio, high above the Okanagan Valley, this was the Cannabis Podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, it's Justin Benton, host of the Miracle Plant Podcast, where we discuss this miracle plant that goes by so many names and how it's helping people in so many extraordinary ways. So if you love this plant and you want to hear a story that tugs on those heartstrings and learn more about this plant, then head on over to the Miracle Plant Podcast. You'll be glad you did.